Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is co-host Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. Daniel, we have a very special program today.
Indeed.
We're talking with a friend of ours, and he is in London, and he is in an embassy. His name is Julian Assange. And most people know him, but I would like to first introduce Julian. Julian, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Paul. It's good to be with you again.
Wonderful. Well, your name has been in the news, and I guess that doesn't flatter you too much. You don't need your name in the news, but some Americans were picking on you the other day. They happened to be in government, and one was a CIA guy, Pompeo. He was deciding that they have to find some charges. So far, as I understand, there haven't been any precise charges against you, but they're looking for it, and they've come up with a term in order to segregate you from others who are doing the same thing, that is publishing information. They have to find something special to justify what they're trying to do to you. And now they're calling WikiLeaks a hostile intelligence service. And I want to read one real short quote from Pompeo when he came out with this, because they want to find out how they can file these charges. I think really tells you where they're coming from, because it's a very confused constitutional position. Pompeo said that they can't afford Assange constitutional free speech protection. Then he quotes, "Julian Assange has no First Amendment freedoms. He's sitting in an embassy in London. He's not a U.S. citizen," Pompeo said. Well, why don't you comment about what he's doing? And I'm sure you understand the American law and the Constitution a lot better than a couple other people have been talking about your case, because that to us on our program is just totally unconstitutional even to discuss this. They're not even have any comprehension at all about what the First Amendment rights mean.
I think it's a very interesting and worrying statement by Pompeo. It was the first statement, it's the first speech that he's made as the new Trump head of the CIA. And it's about an hour long. The majority of the talk is about us. We're the number one subject. So it doesn't spend its time addressing the United States' real threats, which are terrorism, perhaps a geostrategic threat in relation to China. There's actually not many other serious threats the United States has. Instead, it spends its time not just on WikiLeaks, but WikiLeaks and its ilk, where Pompeo introduces a new concept of a non-state intelligence service. And you think to yourself, hang on, doesn't intelligence service mean state intelligence service? What could be a non-state intelligence service? Well, he says that WikiLeaks is one of these things. And so it's an interesting question. Is what WikiLeaks does, or human rights groups, or media organizations, in some ways similar to intelligence services? And the answer is yes and absolutely no. So investigative reporters investigating human rights groups, organizations like The Intercept, ProPublica, and all the serious media that consider national security journalism, we're all involved in developing sources, protecting sources, verifying what sources give to us, or what we obtain, then analyzing it, coordinating it internally. And intelligence agencies also do all that. The equivalent of the CIA in Germany is the BND, or Bundesgeheimdienst, which is the literal translation, is the Federal News Service. Similarly, in the CIA under Obama about 6 years ago, the CIA introduced a change into how it writes its internal reports to use the same style that journalists use in writing articles, called the inverted pyramid style, where you basically put the conclusion up top and then you justify how you got to the conclusion. So there are similarities between news services and intelligence services, but it ends with what happens to the results of the research. So publishers publish, whereas state intelligence agencies keep the information concealed and use it for the advantage of their organization, for their particular political connections, for militaries, for other intelligence agencies, and so on. So it's for the CIA to say that investigative media organizations and publishers are the same as an intelligence service is as ridiculous as it is to say that the CIA is a media organization. There are similarities in the sourcing in relation to both, but in terms of what the organizations then do with the information is completely different.
Right. Daniel.
And it seems like the use of the term, it's a term of art. I don't think he used it to demonize. I think he used it to categorize, to create a new category out of thin air that would enable the U.S. government to go after WikiLeaks in a much more military sort of way. As the ACLU noted, never has a publisher in the history of the United States been prosecuted for revealing truthful information. So it seems to me that the key is to remove the idea that you're a publisher and call you something different. And I think the battlefield right now is probably in U.S. public opinion. Turn that first against WikiLeaks and then see what happens. Does that seem to make sense?
Yeah, I think Pompeo's speech came about partly as a response to a op-ed I wrote for the Washington Post, speaking, you know, why WikiLeaks does its work and so on. It might have been coming anyway. He was in London the day before, and on the Wednesday, he then returned to the United States. He gave this speech late on a Thursday evening, before Easter Friday. It was actually quite hard to respond to in the media, and from that kind of media analysis point of view, was well timed. But the CIA has been deeply humiliated as a result of our ongoing Vault 7 publication. So this is a preemptive move by the CIA to try and discredit our publications and create a new category for WikiLeaks and other national security reporters to strip them of First Amendment protections by defining the organization as something that fits into existing interpretations. So you can surveil and engage in certain actions on hostile intelligence services. That's throughout different pieces of U.S. regulation that the, you know, you don't need search warrants and so on authorized by a judge if what you're intercepting or surveilling is connected to an organization that is an intelligence service that is influencing someone. So to create this new category of non-state intelligence service can then be very easily applied to any media organization. Non-state, of course, means commercial organization or non-profit organization. So it's, I think it's a long-term strategy. It's taking two bites at the apple. One is to create the definition of a non-state, to redefine media as non-state intelligence services. And then on the other hand, to use a perverse jurisdictional argument, which is to say that all foreign reporters have no First Amendment rights. Of course, the First Amendment is not a positive right. It doesn't, generally speaking, give me, or in fact anyone else, a positive right. It's an obligation to the government to give me a right. It's a limitation on the government that limits its ability to interfere with freedom of expression or of the press. In order to create the necessary environment of debate, public debate, which can stop autocracy developing within the United States. Right. So I've seen a lot of misleading assumptions, and they by even some of our supporters, a lot on the kind of nationalist right, going, well, look, we all like you, but of course the U.S. Constitution doesn't apply to an Australian in London. That completely misreads it. The U.S. Constitution applies to the CIA in Langley, Virginia, and every U.S. government employee, and all the actions that they might take in relation to actions initiated against WikiLeaks. And of course, WikiLeaks has lots of American employees. We're a global organization, et cetera.
Right. You know, the other thing Pompeo was doing, and we've touched on this, is the fact that because you're not an American citizen, you don't have the rights. But, you know, our Constitution isn't written to protect citizens. It's for the persons who are exposed to our courts. And therefore, this accusation that you have no rights, you're not even an American citizen, and therefore you don't qualify, I think a lot of people believe that, and it has to be refuted. But the other charge that they've been throwing out, and I'm sure you've answered to this already, but I think it's important because I don't know whether it's just propaganda on their part or they think they can get somewhere, that you're different than the Washington Post and the New York Times. You're not a publisher because you were a participant in obtaining this information, and they've thrown that out there. But I just want to hear how you answer that charge.
Well, it's completely false. They tried this in the trial of Chelsea Manning in 2013, and it failed. It was not accepted by the military courts. They attempted to use it in order to get an extra charge up against the then Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning, and did not succeed. And the evidence that they tried to present was really very pitiful. It was that in 2009, WikiLeaks had a web page, and on that web page, we had collected nominations from police, private investigators, journalists, etc., about what kind of documents that they would be most interested in seeing come to the public. So that was called the WikiLeaks Most Wanted 2009. It wasn't something that we had asserted that we wanted. It was just collecting a list of what other people said that they wanted. And of course, that included all sorts of documents. And the US government argued that there was one of the types of documents that was on that page, Chelsea Manning subsequently leaked to us, and therefore this was some kind of conspiracy. So it's really very indirect and didn't stand up in the case. But of course, the average national security reporter is usually engaged in a much closer relationship with their sources, cultivating them over a long period of time, speaking to them. When the source says, you know, I heard that this terrible thing happened. And then the reporter goes, well, that's interesting, but can you prove it? Do you have a document about it? So Pompeo, and it looks like the DOJ, is trying to redefine that kind of conversation that occurs every day between journalists and their sources as conspiracy to commit espionage and therefore outlaw it.
Mm-hmm. Daniel.
That's chilling. You know, I think, Julian, you mentioned earlier on the strange coincidence of the new assault on WikiLeaks with the Vault 7 releases. Why is the CIA so upset about these Vault 7 releases?
Well, I just go back for a little while. In the democratically aligned press, like the Washington Post and CNN, this assault on us by the CIA and apparently the DOJ is being framed as a Trump administration initiative. But the reality is this was going on under Obama for years and years. This is why I have asylum here. There was a Pentagon war room of more than 120 people, publicly admitted, operating 24/7 back in 2010, and then a very large FBI inquiry, spraying out search warrants, trying to install informers, bribing people, flying people to Washington, flying illicitly plane loads of FBI officers to Iceland to interrogate people, etc. It's extremely large. Now, because of a political relationship that the Democrats have with their base, by about 2000 and, well, not long after I had asylum, so by about mid-2012, they perceived that it didn't benefit them politically to talk the case up. But a lot was happening beneath the surface and continued to happen. Now, this new Republican administration, perhaps because of the nature of the Republican base and because of the rhetorical assaults about them being proximate to Russia, have now decided that it benefits them politically to talk up the conflict with WikiLeaks and the DOJ. So that's why it's been raised up so much. The other reason is, yes, the Central Intelligence Agency and the Vault 7 publications. Well, we have published previous documents about the CIA, but only, you know, maybe 10 or 20 documents previously. And it's very rare to see an actual fresh document leaked from the CIA with CIA letterhead. Extremely rare. There's reports about maybe some CIA official says something, or maybe a particular line in a document seen by a journalist says something. But for an actual document, is extremely rare. Now, Vault 7 is the largest ever series of publications about the Central Intelligence Agency in its history. Thousands of times larger than anything that has appeared before, and is on track to be the largest intelligence publication ever.
Yes.
So that is, of course, deeply humiliating to the Central Intelligence Agency and its relationships to others, to other intelligence agencies like MI6, and in its relationship, say, with the National Security Agency and with the FBI. So it needs a way to get away from that humiliation. And of course, the public and tech companies also don't like it very much because we're revealed that the Central Intelligence Agency created an enormous hacker force, produced hundreds of viruses, which it then went around in, hacking and installing in people, developing methods even to install these into cars, into telephones, and so on, and probably lost control of close to the whole lot of them, thereby covered it up. So lost control last year of all of this. It's flowing around some intelligence contractors at the very least, and they covered it up, and they didn't tell Apple or Microsoft or other affected members of industry about it, and the public, of course, wasn't told. It's quite interesting if it was also concealed from President Obama. Anyway, so it's, they have a quite a lot to be concerned about in terms of possible prosecution of CIA officers, defunding of certain parts, general lowering of prestige. And the CIA is a very incompetent organization. I mean, this is the organization, let's look at it. This is, the CIA is the organization that gave us Iraq, Al-Qaeda, the destruction of democracy in Iran, Pinochet, the destruction of Libya, the effective rise of ISIS, and the Syrian civil war. So this is an organization that goes around engaging in actions which are either deeply incompetent or which from, even from the perspective of American power, counter to its purposes.
Julian, your opponents aren't too difficult to understand if you once realize that, from my viewpoint, I don't think they're interested in the truth nor the law. And they are interested in propagandizing a certain position in order to promote some political viewpoint. But, you know, just recently you had an interview with Hannity on Fox, which I found pretty fascinating. I don't know what your opinion is of that, but I thought it was positive. And it's interesting that Fox had this on their program. How did you see this? Did you see this as an advantage to you to at least get your side out in an audience that might be back and forth on the issue?
Yeah, just like publishing op-eds in the Washington Post is now possible because the Washington Post is lined against the Trump administration, and now we have a conflict in relation to Trump's CIA. So when that channel opens up, yes, we do it because we reach an audience that we wouldn't necessarily normally reach. Same with Fox, that certain channels opened up there because of conflicts between the Trump administration and the FBI, Trump administration, the CIA. It looks like CIA essentially won now. So that was important. And I, you know, people like Hannity and Sarah Palin have been accused of being hypocrites because they made some negative comments about WikiLeaks before. We published Sarah Palin's emails in 2008. So you could understand why she might have been a bit annoyed. But she said I should be hunted down like the Taliban back in 2010. And a few months ago, she apologized. Wow. And is she a hypocrite, or did she learn something and do the right thing? Maybe she's both, I don't know, but I see that as it's something that's positive, regardless of what someone's previous position was. If they have now come to a better position, they should be applauded for coming to that better position.
Well, when they come our way, they're learning something. Dan, you have another question.
Exactly.
We're going to finish up here in a few minutes, but Daniel has another question.
Yeah, I'm constantly fascinated by the relationship between WikiLeaks and the mainstream media in the U.S., and you mentioned the Washington Post. And, of course, they've accused WikiLeaks of being, its core mission is not transparency, but undermining U.S. national security, yet they gladly publish your documents. But I think the thing that we haven't addressed yet that I think is very important, and I'm sure you're aware of this, it's the ongoing demonization of Russia in the United States. Anyone who questions the national security state is an agent of Putin. Trump is an agent of Putin. We're all agents of Putin if we don't go along with this business. But the Washington Post, especially its editorial page, which, as you know, has a very neoconservative bent under Fred Hyatt, it talks about WikiLeaks has close ties with Russia's intelligence services. This was proven by the intelligence community's report about the DNC hack. Of course, we know about the DNC hack. That the forensic investigation was done by an organization called CrowdStrike. The Washington Post wrote about that quite a bit. But strangely enough, when CrowdStrike was very discredited a couple of weeks ago, the Washington Post neglected to mention that part. So maybe if you could address these charges that WikiLeaks is colluding with Russian intelligence services.
Yeah, it's very mischievous to see that in certain media. It, of course, is false. But there's no allegation, no official allegation from the U.S. government that there is any evidence of WikiLeaks colluding with Russia, or even that WikiLeaks is colluding with Russia, but they can't find the evidence. That just simply doesn't exist. And in fact, it has been stated multiple times. Barack Obama, in his last speech, said that there's no evidence of WikiLeaks colluding with Russia. James Comey, within the last month, has stated that if the Russians did anything, they didn't do anything directly with WikiLeaks, unlike DC Leaks and Guccifer 2.0. And James Comey, James Clapper, the director of national intelligence under Obama, stated just before the transition that the U.S. intelligence community had no insight into how WikiLeaks obtained its publications, when it obtained them, or the sequencing or timing as to how we did our publications. So there you have it, directly from Barack Obama and the head of the FBI and the head of National Intelligence, that there's no collusion that they can discern between WikiLeaks and the Russian state. So when you see reportage in the media suggesting otherwise, this is something that is even going beyond what U.S. intelligence is saying. I don't think U.S. intelligence is particularly credible. We all know that they're not particularly credible, and they definitely have an angle that they want to push for their own political and institutional reasons. But they're not saying that WikiLeaks colluded with Russia in any way.
Mm-hmm. Julian, we're going to have to go, but I want to thank you very much for being with us today. But can you give our viewers any information where they can get more information, follow what you're doing? Is there a website, or if they want to help out, do you have a suggestion for what they can do for you?
Yeah, thanks for that. They can follow our Twitter account at WikiLeaks. It's twitter.com/WikiLeaks. And then they can also look at Justice for Assange, that's with a numeral four, justiceforassange.com, which is about my own personal situation. And my Twitter account is Julian Assange.
Oh, very good. And once again, I want to thank you very much for being with us. And we'll stay in touch, and we wish you well.
Thanks, Dr. Paul. Keep up the fight. Thanks.
Very good. And I want to thank our viewing audience today for joining us today for this very special program. Please come back soon to the Liberty Report.